Good evening, my little darklings. You're in for a treat. This evening, we're going to look at the big picture, the spectrum of ghosts, aliens, UAPs, UFOs, and where exactly is our place in this universe? And to lean into this topic, I wanted to go with somebody that actually knows what he's discussing, has been there and seen things, and has intimate knowledge of the things that we've been told may or may not have really happened. It's a fascinating conversation. Stay tuned because the best in paranormal programming begins now. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining me. And boy, last Wednesday, we had a great time doing the live from the Palmer House Hotel. We had an amazing weekend out there, and I'm looking forward to this next weekend with Dalen Spratt as we return. And I caught a lot of really fascinating evidence. I'll be playing that on Wednesday night's show, so I hope that you'll come back, hear some of the evidence as we share news, weird stories from around the world, and more. But you will get to hear some of the incredible EVP that we were able to acquire this weekend at the Palmer House. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. As you know, with the book that I've released, Theater of the Mind, I gave you a wide swath of different types of paranormal phenomena, showing you that by plucking the strings of one story, it seems to resonate through many different tales. How people's experiences may be a lot more closely conjoined than we once thought before. We want to compartmentalize things so much, putting them in their place, when maybe we're missing the bigger picture. Maybe the concept of what's actually happening around us is so much more grand than just ghosts, aliens, cryptids. Maybe it's all working in perfect concert together, showing us that there truly is a bigger world around us. And if we start to learn to tune into it, we may just get that chance. So I started seeking a guest that could actually tackle this topic and would have knowledge of it, somebody that would understand the complexities of each one of these different phenomena. And I believe I found it. Just listen to this amazing pedigree. Our guest, Sir Blake Sinclair, is a writer and author of Dare to Imagine and Beyond Imagination. He is a native of San Francisco, a mystic, philosopher, Grand Knight Commander of the Royal Equestrian Order of Michael the Archangel, and is the goodwill ambassador, and I hope I pronounce this properly, of the Royal House of Gassan. He is also a certified health coach, is certified in the cloud unit PEMF technology, and is a humanitarian and extensive background in the medical field as a licensed occupational therapist with over 30 years experience in the rehabilitation industry. He also was given the gift of sight at a very young age. His father has a very interesting background that we're going to touch on this evening as well. And our guest has come face to face with the spirit realm, things that might be considered demonic, aliens, abductions, and more. So ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the Paranormal 60, our guest this evening, Sir Blake Sinclair. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Hey, welcome. It's an honor to be here.
An amazing pedigree. Holy cow. I feel like I can make an amazing peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Might be the only thing left off your resume at this point. This is a remarkable life that you've led, and I really appreciate that you've stepped forward to share your knowledge and wisdom with people and allow them to see that this big, scary world's a little closer than we really thought, and that these things that are taking place don't necessarily separate us, nor do they define us, but they bring us together on a new way of examining life and the experiences that we are a part of. So I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I mean, this world is an amazing world with so many interesting things around it, and most people are just kind of clueless. They're just happy living their life. And if you take time to smell the nature, open your eyes to reality in different dimensions, it's a remarkable, extraordinary world.
Can I ask you kind of a big, innocuous question to begin with? You said to become aware of reality. What is your definition of reality?
Well, reality is being able to perceive the things around us and within us, and all the different vibrational energies, and being aware of other things besides ourselves, like inner realm. There's a whole reality of entities. You're talking about spirits, soul. You're talking about extraterrestrial beings, all that reality, and then the reality of what's going on in the world, the reality of the matrix, and what holds us together from being close to our true nature. Because a lot of us are just living this superficial life and disconnected from our true nature. And right now we're connecting to more of this kind of artificial intelligence, and we're losing that divine intelligence. So that reality is part of understanding that the connection and kind of merging ourselves to that oneness with the nature, the cosmos. And so there's a whole big reality out there beyond our physical realm. There's that internal universe, there's the external universe, and that internal universe multiplies and amplifies in the planet, in the whole space. And so we're all interconnected to this reality of this creation, creator, and to all matters in the universe. And so we are actually bigger than we realize. Mm-hmm. And we have the power to make changes within our own reality and the reality of others. And we learn how to tap into that divine consciousness from within. But well, I guess through the process of this interview, we'll talk more and more about this reality that many people aren't aware of. Many people are, but there are a lot more people who aren't aware of it. They're too afraid to talk about it. And they think it's just like a movie or something that these things exist. But the more people that I meet, the more I meditate, the more I realize that there's so many things out there that's really extraordinary. So when you learn about these negative energies, negative entities, well, there's an other side too. There's a whole energetic side, and there's a creator side too. For me, it's really exciting. It's all kind of tied in together.
Yeah, I talk often on the show. I say, you know, the one thing I think we need to do is stop disregarding just how powerful we as human beings are and just what we're capable of, truly capable of. And I don't mean that in a self-aggrandizing way to pat yourself on the back and gee, I'm swell. But, you know, a lot of the mysteries of the universe and things that we seem to think, wow, there's no answer. I really think that the answer does lie within us. We were able to do and create and build incredible structures, technologies beyond our concept, even today, that we may have lost through time because of our de-evolution. And I don't know where you stand on this, but I think we're at a weird precipice where there is this teetering on a mountaintop that we are so close to grasping the golden ring of a new reality, but many of us are sliding back down because of our dependence on, you know, technology, our dependence on other people's concepts and beliefs in reality. And that seems to hold us back. And do you see that as well? Do you see that there is this junction point that we're standing at right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a group of people around the world. Many of us are waking up to the reality, especially what happened to us a couple of years ago. And people are starting to realize, you know, that this matrix that we're in is real. And they're kind of cinching more control over us and our autonomy. But then, you know, there's this divine presence that we're disconnecting from. But more and more people are talking about these things and realizing that we have an effect on our planet. And some people feel like we're so helpless. We live in fear and so forth. But a lot of times, you know, if we raise our consciousness to a very high level, and if we exist in that state of consciousness, the enlightenment consciousness, just one individual can affect millions of people, and people don't realize that. And even if you can function at the level of love consciousness, you can affect like 750,000 people. So that's just raising your own vibrational energy. But there's so much we can do. And I see this kind of dynamic in the planet. You know, there's this kind of force, if you will, that's kind of orchestrated by a small group of people that's trying to keep us kind of locked in this matrix. And it's going deeper and deeper. And artificial intelligence is the final lock to seal us in there so that the complete reality in TV and social media is completely lost. And we don't know what reality is anymore. They can create any kind of scenario and we believe it. And then we're victims of manipulation. But people, when they become more awakened, they realize these things. And so they can use that divine intelligence. You know, you kind of trust your gut feeling rather than just kind of listen to that artificial intelligence, and then you become more enlightened and free, and eventually you break free from this matrix to attain liberation, ascension, as an individual, as a humanity, as a consciousness of the planet.
And we do have a link for Sir Blake Sinclair on today's program guide where you can find his books, and they're on Amazon.com as well, and ways that you can start to tap in. The book, Dare to Imagine, 18 Principles for Finding Peace, Happiness, and True Success Beyond Imagination, A Path to God and the Divine Realm, and his most recent book, A New Beginning. And this is all fascinating. I think our listeners are in for a treat as we continue on with this. Now, I want to go into this a little bit. The history of your family is fascinating. According to the information I have, your father was a top secret photographer in the Army stationed at White Sands, New Mexico, during the Roswell crash. And he was the one responsible for developing the film from the Roswell alien crash.
That's right.
And he held off on really kind of talking or exploring that until he was older and you were much older, and he revealed it. Was it basically a deathbed confession, the information?
Well, not quite deathbed, but I was watching a program. I was watching a documentary film on the Roswell incident. And of course, my dad was there, so he was kind of curious. He was snuck behind me. He was smoking a cigarette, and they kind of chuckled and said, you know, I was there. I said, what do you mean you were there? He said, I was there at the Roswell. I worked at White Sand, New Mexico. And I had the film. I developed the film. In fact, his buddy told him, say, hey, that picture, the film you're developing is from the crash. He was telling everybody in the military. And after that, I guess somebody talked to him. And that guy never talked about it ever again. And my dad never mentioned about this. But that day I was watching the TV, he told me about it. But he wouldn't tell me anything more about it. Apparently, he developed it. He looked at it. And it changed his life. But I imagine how frustrating it could be, because he's kind of a quiet person. And then now talking about these topics, you know, you talk about it, people think you're crazy. So I think he lived vicariously through the Art Bell show, listening to people calling in and then kind of re-experiencing what he saw. So it's amazing that he was there during that time that he was. And there was a famous rocket scientist there too. I think it was Wernher von Braun, who's a Nazi rocket scientist. And I guess he surrendered to the U.S., to us. And he ended up coming to work with us. And he was very instrumental in the NASA program and for the launching of the first satellite into space. So he was there at the time period my dad was there. So my father would see him in his entourage. And the interesting thing is that I just found out last year that my dad spoke German. I never knew that. I mean, every now and then I would hear him say a German word, but my cousin told me last year that he actually spoke German. So, I mean, he was probably one of the few that spoke German in the base. And I'm wondering that maybe he talked to that rocket scientist and maybe even work with him a little bit. We don't know, but the chances are pretty good. And my dad was a genius, so he's pretty smart. So you talk about this rocket scientist who's a brilliant genius, and my dad had high IQ. So, you know, usually they kind of gravitate together. So I don't know, possibility. But I find it interesting because they were both there during the same time during the crash, 1947. And you imagine that the rocket scientist, von Braun, would probably be the first one there to kind of look at the wreckage and to kind of re-engineer it. Maybe the first reverse engineering of this craft. So I think that was really interesting, just knowing that he was there.
Now, your father said his eyes were open to kind of a new paradigm by seeing what he saw in these photographs. Did he ever relate any specifics of it, or was it just the overall totality of what I saw?
Yeah, he wouldn't talk about it. And recently I met a friend who also was involved in top secret things. And she told me that, I guess they make you sign a contract, you know, and that don't talk about these things. Otherwise, you get arrested or you get, you know, basically harassed. They talk to you or they can possibly do other things to you. But interesting enough, my dad had a pass to go home sometime after the incident. And he was going to catch a military plane and they were getting ready to go. And he got bumped off the plane by an officer. Shortly after the airplane took off, it crashed into the mountains and then everybody died instantly. So it made me wonder, I said, did he see something that he wasn't supposed to see? Yeah. All these people there, were they involved in it? I mean, I'm just speculating, but it happened during a time period in the 1940s. So it's very interesting. And they weren't rescued and everybody died and they were still in their seat. They crashed the mountain and it was, I guess it snowed over there and they went to the snow clear. Then they kind of got the bodies and wreckage.
Now, did your father, obviously being a hyper-intelligent individual, do you believe that he possessed any of these abilities to see or experience the supernatural?
You know, if he did, and he didn't say anything about it, he's a very quiet guy. And I don't think he likes to talk about these things. He likes to talk about machines, fixing things, creating things. But back then, they're more conservative than how we are right now. Mm-hmm. And just for him to tell me that he was involved, I think that was really hard for him to do. But I think in some ways liberating. I'm sure inside he wanted to tell me more. He just couldn't. You know, he was a very dedicated sergeant in the Army, and I think he took his job seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they said to him because they scared his buddy. And maybe they instilled the fear in him that, you know, this stuck with him for all these years.
Now, at what age did you have your awakening?
Which awakening?
Well, you said that you, at a very early age, you began to see things, experience.
Oh, the vision. Well, I saw things at a young age, probably before I was even 10 years old, but very young age, things that didn't make sense to me. You know, I was seeing cars somehow in the future. They had some kind of sensor. And as a kid, I didn't even understand that. I said, well, that doesn't make sense. But like right. 30 years later on, then you have cars with sensor. Then I got older. Then I would see like the future world where things were kind of levitating, the vehicles, like transportation. I remember seeing myself right underneath of the public transportation. I could feel it fly right over me. It's like I was right there. And so I just spontaneously get these vision. Or sometimes I'll meet somebody and then I know where they're from or where their ancestors from. It just comes all of a sudden. So those are just kind of like, I guess, gifts that you're born with, probably affected by your previous lifetimes.
Sure. Now, did you, in having these kind of gifts, did you discuss this with your family, with your parents?
No. I didn't discuss it with anybody. In fact, I don't even talk about these kind of things. I think the only person who knows about it is probably my wife and some close friends. But even this whole thing about the paranormal, ufology, I never talked about it publicly. I just started to talk about this about a month or 2 months ago. And now people are more interested in hearing it. And the timing is right. So I'm feeling that, you know, it's time to share this information. Maybe there's others out there who had similar experiences and they can come forth and talk about their experiences as well.
How old were you when you began being abducted, do you believe?
Well, you know, I want to change the word from abduction to more of a contact. Because it happened probably when I was close to 10 years old at a farm in Fairfield, California. And I was missing the farm for about an hour. And I didn't think much about it. I just remember going back to the farm. And then years later, I had studied hypnosis, past life regression. And during class, I began to regress back to my childhood. And I remember seeing, I was shocked to see, I was walking there as a kid. And then who held my hand was these entities, these extraterrestrial beings, very tall. They're probably, you know, anywhere from 7 feet to 10 feet tall, and very lanky, very skinny. And they have really big eyes, and they look kind of like a praying mantis. And when I was young, I was very fascinated with the praying mantis. I mean, obsessed with the praying mantis. Anything praying mantis, I want to get it. And when I saw that, I realized that, oh, that's probably why I had this fascination. And since I was young, I'm always looking at the sky, looking for a connection with something out there. I don't know what it was. But once I saw that vision, then I realized that because of my experience, this contact experience, and one show, they asked me, did I have any negative experience with that? And I don't remember having anything traumatic. It seemed like it was a peaceful event. And so I wanted to know a little bit more about that. So I talked to my friend who's a renowned psychic, I mean, pretty famous. And she told me that they just wanted to kind of meet with me. And they were fascinated by my energy and light. And the interesting thing is that these beings, they were with me, not just this lifetime, it was a past lifetime too. And that's another story where I actually did a hypnosis. Before I studied it, I went to do a hypnosis with this really good hypnotherapist, just for fun. And, you know, with hypnotherapy, you have to be careful choosing the person because if they're not careful with their words, they can plant the false information into your mind. But this guy was really good. And so I went back in time, did a past life regression. And when I opened my eyes in that hypnotic state, I saw myself in the desert. And I was a prince living in some kind of place that made out of stone or something. But I wasn't happy with that life. So I decided to become a healer. So I left my life there, the royal life, and became a healer. I worked at the sleeping temple. And I saw this all under the hypnosis. And I, at the end of time, I died. Interesting enough that when I died, you know, I saw my soul leave my body. Then I saw these beings come and picking me up to receive me, to bring me to the next dimension, next reality. And they were not humans. They were extraterrestrial beings, but they were different. They had smaller eyes. And so my friend tuned into all these experiences and she validated that they happened. But she said, not only were they there when you died, they were there when you were living. And so that was kind of interesting. I don't have any recall about that, but she said that they were there. And furthermore, she said that this experience that you had as a child, well, that's not the last time. They're going to come back again, you know, at a certain point to make another contact with you. And so that would be another interesting experience, because now I'm more spiritually evolved and the contact would be much more in depth.
So do you know that when you first tapped into that realization that you had been visited and had contact, when you see these beings that are 7 to 11 feet tall, that's a terrifying statue. That's huge, right? I know my kids were frightened of a few basketball players they met because of how tall they were at 7 feet. It looks like you're a mile tall. Do you remember having any sense of fear in those moments of contact?
No, I didn't have any fear. I looked at the image as me as a child, and I just felt just like a comfortable. It's like being around two angelic beings or being around a golden retriever. They might be bigger than me, but I guess because of their energy, they didn't have this kind of a negative, terrifying energy. And I'm kind of an empath, like a few energies. And I didn't see any fear as a child with these things. And I know sometimes, you know, I did some research afterwards and read about this type of species. And other people are terrified. They have a bad experience. It's traumatic. But for me, and I guess I changed the word from abduction to a contact, it was kind of like a visit. They visit me, and I think they came in peace, because they had been with me in the other lifetime. So they were kind of touching base, tracking with me and so forth. So that's why I think the experience came out to be more of a positive one. And that's why I'm always yearning to connect to the skies, to the stars. So it was not a negative one. I've met people who are terrified by these things, but in my experience, it was a positive event. And I'm sure the next one is going to be even more positive, and my mind will be more awakened and more alert and being able to deal with them.
Now, you talked, of course, about vibration and our place and how we can accept this. I kind of liken it to when people ask me, aren't you afraid when you go into haunted locations? And I say, I try not to walk in a place of fear. And that's everybody right. has a different level of comfort with certain things. So you and I could have the exact same experience. I could see these 7 to 11 foot beings and be absolutely horrified because I'm coming at it from a state of fear, whereas you were coming at it from a state of vibrational love and openness. So same exact scenario, two different ways of examining it. We do have a quick question from one of our audience. Thesis himself says, question for Sir Blake Sinclair. Do you believe emotions derive from the dualistic concept of which all emotions come from love, high vibration, or fear, low vibration? Or is it more complex than that?
So as far as emotions, I think it comes from our experiences, how we perceive reality. So I think when we're born, you know, we're created with love, out of love, unconditional love. But when we interact with this world, depending on our genetics, depending on what we eat, it affects us too. Depending on our environment, stressors, it affects our perception of reality. So one person may look at a situation and perceive it as a threat, and then that stores the data into the body, into the organs, especially the first 7 years of life. And depending on those patterns, certain emotions are created. So that's why you have some kids, they grow up to be happy, healthy kids. Other kids, they are shy. I was shy. I was angry because of my circumstance. I was born as a happy-go-lucky child. I remember being being conscious at the age of probably a couple of months only, which is unusual. I remember them changing my diaper and the reaction people had when I had a bowel movement, and people like freaked out by it. And I thought that was kind of weird. But then my parents began to have relationship issues. They started to fight when I was probably a few years old. And that put a trauma on my mind, in my psyche, in my subconsciousness. I started to see the world as a dangerous place. And then pretty soon I had developed the ego, and it depends on how the ego processes that information. So I took that information, internalized it, and then I blamed myself for the anger between my parents. And then it became, later on, I started blaming my parents for the way I was. So it took years of therapy and working through the subconsciousness, through hypnosis, to kind of, to integrate the ego, to kind of forgive my parents. So it's a learned reaction response to our environment based on all those factors, the genetics, the perception and all that. And that creates the emotional feelings that we have. But the more we remove all the layers that block us from our true nature, the more we can resonate with that love, the compassion, the kindness and all that. But when we have all these subconsciousness programmed into us, when we're through the TV, through our families, through the reaction of teachers towards us, we internalize that teaching in the first years of life, just locked into our subconsciousness, and that affects our emotions. So it's not a free emotion. It's something that's generated, you know, organically by our environment. But the good thing is that we don't have to be stuck with that. Through our conscious mind, we can begin the process of seeking help. And through these people who, through these therapy, talk therapy, is just the beginning of it. And then getting into subconscious therapy is working at a deeper level to release and reprogram your mind. And then what really helped me eventually is the spiritual path, to follow that, to remove all those barriers to block me from my true nature. And when you have that, then you feel the fullness of love. Then, you know, you're experiencing love. It's a constant thing, though. You know, you have the environment that sends stress to you, and you have to learn how to deal with it using newly incorporated coping skills. So you develop new skills so that you can experience that love. Because in the creation of the universe, it was love. It created everything. And then it was our own choices, our own interactions, the ego that's going awry that brings up all these negative emotions.
And it's us allowing other people to supplant our basic instinct with their fears and concepts. And it's interesting that you bring up, you know, up till 7, we really kind of absorb into the genetic makeup of who we are those moments. And maybe the reason I've not been as frightened by ghosts as most is because I had great visitations from my grandmother after her death. So that first indoctrination was all from a place of love and kindness, and there wasn't that fear. We have to take a quick break. Our guest is Sir Blake Sinclair. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. You're listening to the very best in paranormal programming. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60. You know what? You could send me in to face a room full of demons. Send me out there to some long-forgotten civilization to confront the spirits that are angered that we are interloping in their space. I'm cool with that. You know what I'm not so good at? Struggling with my finances. Trying to find time and a way to manage my finances. And at the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions that I don't use anymore. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all of that for me. Rocket Money is the personal finance app I've been talking to you about. It finds and cancels all your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it'll help you lower your bills so that you can grow that savings. And I know that's important to you because it sure is important to me. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of all of the expenses. Rocket Money has over 5 million users now. And in total, they've saved about $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And that savings is about $740 a year when using all of the app's features. It's easy. It's simple. Why aren't you taking advantage of it for yourself? Time to take control of your finances. Join your pal, Darkness Dave, and let's do this. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel those unwanted subscriptions. Get control of your finances again by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. Make sure that you support the advertisers advertising on this show. There's a link for this on today's program guide. All right, my little army of darklings, you know that I would follow you into the gates of hell and beyond, holding your hand in proud battle. So I'm going to ask you to trust me on something. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by just about every overpriced wireless provider out there, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, yeah, all right, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't a catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings on directly to you, my little darklings. I can tell you, making the switch has saved me hundreds of dollars, and that's no exaggeration. With all that we had going with our phones and the amount of phones that we had on our plan, it was insane. And every carrier was the same, overcharging, overpricing, and fees I wasn't expecting. So say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans and those jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered to you on the nation's largest 5G network. So now you know what I know and understand why we made a change in the Schrader home. It's time you do that as well. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. There is a $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions do apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? Then Haunted Magazine issue 41 might just be for you. In issue 41 we have The Enfield Haunting, an interview with Dave Schrader, Danny Robbins, and lots more. Out now in stores, app stores, and online at bit.ly/hauntedmagazine. Remember, don't be normal. Be paranormal.
All right, we're back on the program. And for those of you that are looking to expand, you're trying to understand this better. You want to open yourself up to the possibilities, the experiences. Our guest, Sir Blake Sinclair, has written 3 books, Dare to Imagine, 18 Principles for Finding Peace, Happiness, and True Success. He also wrote Beyond Imagination, A Path to God and the Divine Realm, and his newest book, A New Beginning, an Antidote to Civilization. Sorry, my glasses are progressively worse here as I try to tilt my head up to read them. But Sir Blake Sinclair is our guest this evening. Pick up those books. There's a link for our guest on today's program guide, so you can find more information there and find his books. They're on Amazon. And again, remember, don't just buy the books. If you're touched by them and they speak to you, rate and review those books because they go a long way to help out the authors. All right, Sir Blake, as we were talking about opening ourselves up, getting into these new vibrational places, right? That kind of seems like people think of the Matrix, and it's obviously this Hollywood movie, this weird concept that reality is not what we believe it to be. It's being distorted and displayed by other people, which is a very big truth. Look how many people in life taught us things to fear, taught us things to love and understand. And only as we start to engage and open our eyes and become more awake to our own world, do we realize that some of these fears, some of these thoughts and concepts don't really match up with the reality that we're experiencing ourselves. And that's a powerful notion, right? Because that lets us know that we do not have to be beholden to the things that have been given to us from our past. We don't have to be beholden to the ideas, the fears, or the anger that other people have put onto us. And by learning to stand up and allowing your life to happen, you can be open to experiences like extraterrestrial contact, ghosts, and so on. Now, you also, according to this, have had experiences with the demonic realm. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Well, yeah, it started when I was young. And I remember one time I was sleeping and woke up middle of the night and I couldn't move. I guess they call it sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually heard a demonic being over my chest, and I can feel the heat or feel the heat and also hear the breathing over me, but it was holding me down. So I just kind of closed my eyes. Well, I can't get up. I'm just going to surrender. But I remember that it was in the figment of my imagination. My eyes were open. And when you feel things, you know, outside of yourself, over your body, and then it's kind of like, you know, you become a believer. But all through my life, I had these experiences. And then one time I was at home, and I remember hearing, I was home alone, hearing someone walk up the stairs. And finally, I was like getting really nervous. My hair was standing up. And when I got to the top, I ran out to look at it. And it was like a shadowy figure. It just ran across right through the wall. And I just freaked out and I ran out of the house and went to my grandma's place, which is a couple miles away because I didn't want to go home. But you know, I started as a youth also to kind of get into the telekinesis. I was fascinated by psychic things.
I'll get into the psychic realm in a second, but I am curious about something. So the one set of beings that you encountered, you almost equate to an angelic sense about them. These creatures are more of a dark manifestation, yet people have referred to many of the alien races as seemingly angelic or demonic in nature. Are we compartmentalizing for our own belief systems? You know, to those that are religious, they're angels and demons. To those that are not sure where they belong, they're alien in nature or interdimensional beings. Are we really kind of talking all about the same thing? It's just whatever your interpretation of dark or light ends up being.
I think, in my opinion, that there is a dark and light. There's also demonic beings, and by the demonic beings, and they're really negative, very dark. And so I like to summarize things as ego consciousness versus unity and love consciousness. That covers extraterrestrial beings, people, all types of souls, and so forth. So there's that kind of divide in the planet right now, ego consciousness versus unity consciousness. But definitely, there are these really dark beings that prey on people, and they like to incite fear in people. And there is one group that's kind of orchestrating the behind the scenes on the planet to create the scenario that we just went through, to invoke fear, anger, all the negative emotions, because these beings or these people, they feed off these negative energy, you know, and it makes it more powerful, makes it feel better. And then whereas on the other side, there's people we grow through love, through kindness, through compassion. So there's this dynamic going on in the planet. So I've had that both sides. I experienced the negative when I was young. But the higher you go, the more you live in light, the more you live in love, then the more you attract these positive beings. And through my journey of healing, I was a very sick child, and then mentally, emotionally, physically, I had to heal myself through years of study and soul searching. But what really healed me completely was my spiritual awakening. So that's when I began to realize that there's something more deep and divine and eternal. And when we embrace that, it sets us free. And that's what I wrote about in my second book, Beyond Imagination. It was the birth of my mystical awakening. The first book was my awakening, and it goes step by step. But and then when I went through my mystical awakening, I was brought to Mount Shasta. I met with a spiritual guru teacher, Peter Mount Shasta, and he led me to the ascendant beings, ascendant master at Mount Shasta. And that's where I got initiated into the world of ascendant masters. And they've been working with me throughout these years. And actually, the books that I wrote, I can't really take credit for it. I mean, yes, I wrote it, but the wisdom was kind of downloaded into my mind, into my psyche. And if I don't write it down on a paper or have plans to publish it, it will haunt me until I write it down.
Right.
So I get principles, and then I internalize it, and then I lifted my consciousness higher until I came to 18 principles that set me free. So I attained peace, I attained happiness and true success. And then moving to the next level is the mystical level. How do you connect with the angelic realm, the ascended master to God? And so then they download the information. So I got the key to unlock the universe through meditation, through spiritual practices. So I share that with humanity. So it's a wisdom coming forth, not just for myself, but for people in the world. And then the third book is about that, the message of love and hope to the humanity. It was done before the pandemic. It was supposed to help humanity navigate through the crisis more gracefully and to help with that planetary consciousness, to help end and minimize the suffering of the humanity.
And boy, what a good time for it to come out. But unfortunately, kind of the headlines blazing across our TVs and radios and social media buried a lot of the positivity that was taking place in the world and the learning that we were meant to perhaps have.
Well, it's never too late, because I believe these things are going to happen again. So embrace the information, because right now it's a transformational time this year and going forth for a new beginning for humanity. And the more of us open our mind, wake up, embrace the wisdom, the knowledge that the universe of the ascended beings are trying to share with us, the more we can shift our planet into more of a path of enlightened civilization.
Now, much of what you talk about too is imagination and the power. I've often thought that it's fascinating to me that a lot of people that I know that see and experience the supernatural more fluently are people that have still kept that engagement with imagination. And to one element, I understand the skeptical side is, see, you're prone to fancies of flight. You can, maybe you're seeing it because you want to see it. But I've often thought that having that gift of imagination is, when our children saw their imaginary friends, they were having a very real experience. When we were children and we had those imaginary friends, and there are some of us that remember those friends very clearly, as a matter of fact, maybe more clearly than the people that we know now, right? So the imagination to me seems like it's been a key element to allowing things in. When you expand your brain and consciousness to allow possibilities to emerge, it's like any type of advancement. If you want success, you have to be open and accepting of success when it comes knocking at your door. Because if you're over here looking and whining about why can't I find success, meanwhile it's pounding on the side of your head and you're totally ignoring it because you're so focused on why it's not appearing the way you want it to, you know, I often think that that's kind of part of the scope that narrows us and keeps us from elevating to those certain levels. How important do you think imagination is to enlightenment and in experiencing these things?
Yeah, imagination is so important. It's just creative energy. And if we want to manifest things, it doesn't matter if we want to be successful, if we want to manifest these interactions with these beings, we have to open our mind. You have to kind of visualize it. When we visualize it, the energy opens up to invite these beings to come in. I know it sounds crazy. You could say that people are making up all these things, but in my book, I write about how to validate it, because I do have validations of my mystical experiences. It's not just me. For example, recently, I connected with a saint, an avatar in India, who passed away many years ago. Her name is Sri Anandamayi Ma, And she was one of those few that was born awakened. So her mind was clear. She was speaking when she was born. She didn't have to study with any gurus or any spiritual teachers. She knew the information from the universe. So that's why she was like an avatar. People from all religions kind of loved her because they can relate to her because she understood it all. So she came to me like 2 years ago in a visionary dream. And she came and told me that she wanted me to meet this person, to study from this person, and then learn about her through his music and through his teaching. This guy is called Acharya Mangananda. And all I knew was that this guy was just a musician. That's all. I didn't know anything about him. And we were just like a kind of superficial friends in Facebook. So all of a sudden I got this command and from this goddess, basically. And she told me to contact him. So I did. I contacted him. And I just say, hey, let's have dinner because I don't know anything about you. So we had dinner. And it turns out this guy is a direct disciple of this goddess. He wrote a book called The Goddess Amongst Us. And his name actually means that he's authorized to share and teach her sacred teachings. So, I mean, things like that are not made up. I mean, this is from a divine goddess telling me what to do. And apparently, she goes to people. She chooses who she wants to work with, and she'll come through a visionary dream, and that's how she works. But I have so many mystical experiences that are validated by either some kind of physical evidence or something like that. It's like one time I was meditating at the Mount Shasta, and I was connecting with Mother Mary. And after that experience, I was leaving, and then I was told to stop. I was told to look down on the ground, and I was told to pull up this rock that was embedded in the ground. And I pulled it up. It was the shape of Mother Mary, and the energy was there. And I showed it to my mother-in-law. She's not spiritual at all. I said, what do you think about this? She said, oh, that's Mother Mary. That's the first thing she said, and she's not spiritual at all. And so people said, well, that could have been a coincidence. Yeah, maybe. But I also had another healer, Abelariel, I think they call it. It's a kind of medicine woman in the Philippines. She came and visited me. She took this kind of a material, tawas, and rubbed it through my body to kind of draw the energy out. And then she put in the kind of pan to cook it. And it started to take a shape. Again, it came to the shape of Mother Mary. And she said that Mother Mary is always with me. So she's one of my core ascended masters that have been watching over me, teaching me, and guiding me. So that's why it's beyond imagination. That's why it's called that. Imagination is very important to open the door. That's the first step of manifestation, creating reality, and inviting that divine realm within. But what brings them to you is also the dedication, the meditation, the prayers, the devotion, the random acts of kindness, all those kind of things brings them to you. And they're not just visualizing. Otherwise, a lot of people are just living in their mind. They have this like it's not real. It's all creation of your mind. So that's different. I want to talk about more things that are real events that are happening. Like I had this this meditation, and this one master came to me. He was like a Buddhist master, Ajahn Lee, and he's gone, but he's in the ascendant realm. One day, he came to me in meditation and told me to go to this temple in Concord. And I don't know anything about this Buddhist temple, but I went anyway because I was still go there. And then when I went there, I looked in there, and I was surprised. Look at the picture. It was a picture of Ajahn Lee. It was his temple. I mean, these things, you can't just make it up. You know, it's something divine.
There's synchronistic aspects to this, and you have to be aware of those.
Right. So what happens is that you clear all the layers, the subconscious layers, all the emotional layers, and all the ego, and then you get into your true nature, and then you find this kind of divine presence, this I am presence, this divine compass. And then the more you listen to it, the more it points to your true north. So it brings you to where you need to go, who you need to be, and what you need to do in life. And I've been listening to that, and it's brought me to all the most amazing people in the world that care about humanity and want to share and support me in my endeavor to empower humanity.
We're going to take one more quick break. We'll come back. We'll discuss more with our guest. It's a fascinating night. I hope you're enjoying it. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, rate and review wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond is back and bigger than ever. At Oaks Amusement Park, Saturday, June 29th, meet Bigfoot hunters like Ronnie LeBlanc of Discovery Channel's Expedition Bigfoot and
paranormal caught on camera, and paranormal investigators like me, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files and the Paranormal 60 podcast. Join us for a day of family fun celebrating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and everything beyond. You never know what you'll find. Don't miss the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond, Saturday, June 29th at Oaks Amusement Park. Get tickets today at OregonBigfootFest.com. OregonBigfootFest.com.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
All right, Sir Blake Sinclair, our guest this evening. A lot of interesting comments being made throughout the show. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to pop all of them up. If you've had a question for our guest, go ahead and throw it. I'll try to keep those on the side here and see it. And I know some of the people are saying, you know, I'm so close, Sir Blake. I'm at that precipice. I want to make that next step, but I just don't seem to be able to get to that point. Is that because we kind of, you know, I was always brought up to believe you bring your problems to the table of God, right? And set them there and give them to God. And that concept is great, but it all, you know, we also have this line that makes us kind of feel like we're defined by the things that we have in front of us, the problems, and totally surrendering them to a higher power is kind of scary. It's sometimes more scary than keeping that negativity to ourselves. Turning it over, taking that next evolutionary step is kind of frightening for people, so much so that they almost will be willing to keep the negativity more than try to step forward into positivity. Is that, am I crazy on that, Sir Blake, or is that a reality of breaking through those paradigms?
It's a reality. It's not that easy. I mean, you can say you surrender these things to God, but there's a whole dynamics. You know, it starts when we're a kid, and this whole subconscious reality, and most people, they don't even address that subconsciousness. When we're sick, we take care of our body. When we eat, we exercise. But that's, our body is made of the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body. We also have a spiritual body. We have spiritual needs too. We have energies in our body. We have prana energy. We have chi energy. So it's not so simple. I mean, I think I spent my whole life understanding human behavior and healing and how to find a way home to God. And you talk to these great saints who talk about that communion with God. And it takes purification. It takes years. And that's why I put in the book all these principles, follow it one by one, incorporate it. Yes, surrendering to God, that's ultimately what it is. But then there's all these foundations you have to do. You have to work on that, releasing those internal dynamics, subconscious dynamics. Sometimes they're stored in our organs. Anger is stored in our liver. Grief is stored in our lungs. Sometimes we actually need a physical body work to release those emotions. Sometimes we need to do emotional therapy to release those emotions. So it's kind of a process that doesn't happen overnight. And also the nutrition, what kind of food are you eating? It affects how you feel. It affects how, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're stressed out, changing what we eat. That's why the food, our attitude, and how we take care of our body temple affects the outcome of how we think and how we feel. So it's hard to put all this together. But if you have a guideline, like I put it in the books, 18 principles for the dare to imagine, you follow that, your life will begin to shift and go to higher consciousness. But don't give up. Because I came from such a toxic family, such a negative environment. I couldn't even think as a kid. I went to school, I had a hard time thinking. I was the most angry person in the world when I was young. And I didn't do well in school. And when I couldn't even concentrate in class, when I hear a teacher, it's like Charlie Brown trying to listen. And you just hear this distorted sound. Yeah. But through the process of healing, self-journey, I was able to work through all that and attain higher consciousness. And I have so many bad role models out there. Imagine a teacher asking me, why am I so stupid? You know, imagine my parents putting me down. But, you know, I don't blame them anymore because they say things and do things because they were taught a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you learn forgiveness. You have to learn to forgive, to let go, and send them love. And through my life evolution, I shifted my parents and raised their consciousness up. I helped my mother experience love and happiness because she was abused in her life. She had a rough childhood. So the journey begins for the 1,000 miles, the first step. And so that's I applaud you for that, your audience there, and just continue, embrace the wisdom that the universe, the ascended beings are trying to share with you. God's trying to share with you this information and follow it and allow it to bring you to higher heights of consciousness.
If so I can mention, Steve Jones writes, "It seems impossible, Dave. That's what sucks." And I know right now I can already hear that there are listeners around the world that are already turned off because, oh, it's the God. And what if I'm not religious? Or what if God is not my deity? That's not the important element. The important element is for you to educate and learn. Because what if you do read a book like this and through it, the principles teach you how to be a better person, to ascend and understand things.
Right.
You don't have to label something a God or right. or Buddha or Muhammad or whatever your belief system is. The concepts that are coming in are concepts that are given to people from all different faiths. And the problem is that we're not reading them. We're not experiencing them. Sometimes it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Well, it doesn't fit my paradigm, so it must not be a reality. But we've allowed the reality to be, you're just not good enough, Blake. You're kind of stupid. I don't even know why you're trying so hard in school. That becomes the layer that lays on us. Why would you let that garbage influence your life, but not the concept that there's something better? And there's a purer way just because it's in a word with God or a religious deity that you don't know. Maybe there's something to learn by taking steps outside those boundaries. And I would rather look and learn from an enlightened place than continue to allow the garbage and the muck from my past to be the defining factor of what I am and what I should become.
Yeah, I can understand it because when I grew up in high school, I didn't like what I was taught in church. This mm-hmm. God, this kind of judgmental God. And so I didn't feel it was right. It didn't resonate with me. So as I became more enlightened, I realized that we're talking about consciousness. Somehow there was a consciousness-created reality, and we're all imbued with this consciousness. And so it's just a matter of tapping into the consciousness to free us, set us free, to experience the real joy in ourselves. And I suffered so many years, and I don't want to see people suffering like that, and mentally, emotionally, physically. So I found a solution. I found a key that unlocks a way to vibrant health, happiness, and bliss. And if you don't care about God, that's okay. If you don't believe in consciousness, but believe in finding peace, finding joy in life. And that's all I'm trying to share through my life experience, through my research. And even my third book, I've interviewed like over 25 different experts around the world from different faith, different modalities, of how to end people's suffering. So these are very good information put together one place so that you don't have to search everywhere and say, where can I get help? It's hard to find out where to go for help. The right. first place it goes to one practitioner, and that practitioner might give you one pill, and that pill might be just pacify you, but we want to go deeper to free yourself. And when you experience it, you want to share that wisdom because that joy is so beautiful. And it's not like every day is like that, but you know, you get more days like that than the days I had when I was a kid. As an adult, I suffered many years. And so many people have embraced the wisdom and found themselves set free to live a more joyous life. And so it doesn't matter what you believe in. What matters is that you embrace wisdom to set yourself free, to be happy, to stop the suffering that's going on, and to discover the beauty within yourself. There's a guru within yourself. And ultimately, that's what it is. It's whatever you want to call it. Go within and silence your mind and go within. And there's a gentle prompting that will guide you in your mastery of finding your true nature.
For people, Sir Blake, that are interested in becoming more open to having those experiences, but they still live behind a little bit of a wall of fear or misconception of what that really means, because of others' interpretations of what is expected of us. Could you, and I know you've written so eloquently in your three books about this, but what are a couple of the little tips or hints you could give to listeners right now to get them on that first step into becoming more than what they are right now and experiencing all of this magic that surrounds us?
Well, I think the first thing is just a couple of things are important. Just learn to still your mind. Because we have all these reactions and what we were taught, all those things that we were taught as a kid, first 7 years of life, are reacting right now. And mm-hmm. they're very protective of that part of us that wants to come free. And so open to the process, just surrender the process. You may not understand everything. You may not even agree with me. That's okay. But just kind of open your mind and open your heart. And then learn to silence your mind. Sit still for a while. Learn some meditation. Meditation helps you just to silence the mind so that you can access your consciousness, experience consciousness. So that's number one, meditation. Number two is that breathing is very important. Learn some kind of breathing method. You can do alternating nasal breathing that helps to balance out your brain, pursed-lip breathing, or the Wim Hof breathing. All those helps you to kind of relax, calm down, and to turn on your parasympathetic nervous system. So breathing and then meditation and exercise, you know, that's the first beginning. So it helps you to start feeling better when you exercise. Sometimes you have to do it from the physical level and work your way in. So wherever you're comfortable, that's where you start. It doesn't matter. If walking around the block makes you relaxed, then do it. Whatever gives you joy. And if you want to be more peaceful, you can start with those few things. If you like dancing, do dancing. Dancing is very therapeutic for you. It helps with anxiety, stress, and depression. So just go where you're at. If we're all at a different level in life, if you asked me this 30 years ago, I think you're crazy. But then as you change, as you shed all those things that used to block you from experiencing joy, you think differently. So whatever you think is valid, and just embrace right. how you feel.
Heidi Severson says, silencing my mind is nearly impossible. That's a paradigm you're setting on yourself, Heidi.
Right. I used to tell myself that too, and I couldn't even meditate. I used to fall asleep in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's practice. It's conditioning. You can just breathe. Sit there still for 30 seconds, and the next time, 1 minute. Because my mind, it was like a monkey when I was a kid. I couldn't sit still. I think I was a hyperactive kid, but it took years of practice. So it takes start just 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, just kind of, and if you can't silence it, it's okay. So the simple way of doing it is just kind of relax, close your eyes three quarter, and just focus on the breath. And it's natural for our mind to jump around. Don't fight it, just accept it. And like a cloud, it goes there. Just look at it and say, okay, that's a thought, and redirect your thought back into your consciousness, into your breath. And the more you do that, these monkeys will start dissipating. But it starts somewhere. It's a practice. It's a skill. The more you do it, the better you get. Don't say you can't do it. Nothing's impossible. Our greatest enemy is ourselves. And I hated myself for so many years. I was my greatest enemy. And now I learned to love myself and accept myself. And when you do that, all these magic in your life starts to happen. But just give time and don't put limitations on yourself. Just let the process go and just do your best. And don't beat yourself up. If you can't do it for 1 minute, do 10 seconds. I mean, just start somewhere. Just start the process. And if you can't do that, well, you can get yourself maybe a CD or a download of a meditation. I think there's one by Wayne Dyer. It's music. And some people, including myself, I started with that and listened to that. It helps you to relax. And I think...
You know, one thing, I'll make a quick suggestion. Do you know, and this will sound so ridiculous that I'm going to bring this up, but do you know how many people, authors, musicians, artists, got a spark of intuition, got a spark, a genesis of an idea while sitting on the toilet? Because they didn't have the distraction of their phone. They weren't sitting there, you know, feverishly scrolling for 40 minutes when they only needed to be in there for 5 minutes. They set things aside. They went in, focused on the deed at hand. And while they were there, they were more open to things. So think about that. Maybe just meditation could be what you make of it. Leave the phone out of the bathroom. Just allow yourself to have that little, you know, fortress of solitude where you don't have to look at the negativity of the outside world. You don't have to worry who liked your picture of your new salmon fontaine sandwich or whatever. You could just allow yourself to be in that moment and see if inspiration starts to come to you.
That's all right. That's a good thing. Whatever works for you. That's right.
You said, you know, in dancing, how many people feel closer to God, whatever that is, in dancing, having music helping them escape. When you're moving and you're not thinking, oh man, I got to pay some bills when I get home, and woo, the lawn's getting out of control. I really need to get home and mow that lawn. Your brain's not there. And that is a form of meditation because you're not focused on all of the noise. You're kind of in a different modality, right? You're in a different reality that you're allowing to craft and shift you and open you up. So that's a great point. Maybe find that thing that brings you peace. If it's just playing with Play-Doh and rolling it into circles, just occupying the mind with something that's not ego-driven, not always driving you from your past.
Right. I mean, even just looking at the flower, enjoying the flower, be one with the flower at that moment in time and nothing else. That's right. Like meditation too. You can be walking meditation, many different ways. So there's, right. There doesn't have to be a formal way.
Agreed. Amazing stuff. Sir Blake Sinclair, our guest this evening. And again, there's three different books out. You can find the books. We've got a link for Sir Blake's website, Dare to Imagine 18 Principles for Finding Peace, Happiness, and True Success. And this, I challenge you, my darklings. All right. Remember the old saying, an apple a day keeps a doctor away? What if it did? What if it did and you'll never know because you didn't follow a very simple, basic, easy principle? What if these 18 principles for finding peace, happiness, and true success work for you? The worst you're out is a few bucks that I'm sure you've pissed away on something much stupider. Pick up the book, read it, educate yourself, and give yourself a chance to expand outside the paradigm you're in. His following book, Beyond Imagination, A Path to God and the Divine Realm. And you can also find his third book, A New Beginning, An Antidote to Civilization. Sir Blake Sinclair, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing your insights and wealth of knowledge and educating our listeners. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Right. Being open, that's what you're all here for. Not all of you believe in ghosts. Not all of you believe in aliens. Not all of you believe in fairies or cryptids. But you're open to the concept. And in every episode, we pull strings that align different elements of the universe around us. And you can see that there's a much wider tapestry that unfolds before our eyes and our imagination. So if you're open to these concepts, why not be open to the concept that you are much more than you give yourself credit for? Why not be open to the concepts that reality is only that which we allow to happen? Right? One of my favorite sayings is, hitting the iceberg did not take the Titanic down. Letting the water in is what took the Titanic down. If you don't allow the damage in, we're going to be bumped and bruised in life. That's just the way it is. I watch my grandson as he's playing at the park and he trips and bangs his knee. He goes, oh, oh, and then he gets up and he starts running, chasing dinosaurs again, right? Where we seem to have settled more into letting the wound fester and giving attention to the wounds of our past and letting those become what define us instead of getting past that and seeing the adventure that lies in front of us. Instead of paying attention to the bruised knee, let's go catch that pteranodon, Grandpa. Let's go out and grab your rope, Pop-Pop. Let's go grab us a T-Rex, right? And seeing that that was a moment of time for him, and now we're on to the real adventure. Maybe let's all embrace that element of life and let imagination run who we are again so that we can live far beyond the means of the limitations we've put and others have tried to put on us. You're a great lot, you, my darklings, and those of you that are finding us every day. You are more powerful than you know. You are stronger than you know. And how do I know? Because you're still here. You're still fighting. And you may feel weak and you may feel like you're not able to continue pushing, but you do. Every day is a new way. So read these books, educate yourself. And there are many of you in there that were in the chat saying, oh, I wish Sir Blake were my teacher. Here's a secret. He is your teacher. He wrote three books. Pick up the books and read the books. Educate your mind, fulfill your soul, and give your life and your heart to a new beginning. Because there's no harm in that. And what you may find is that you will have a new will for life, and you will begin to experience the magic that surrounds us on a daily basis. That's my hopes for you, my darklings. So I hope that the darkness of this world is just a little bit more bright with the information that we share on this program. And again, from the bottom of my heart and soul, thank you for taking me along on your journey and becoming part of my journey into the strange and supernatural world around us. I'll be back Wednesday. We'll talk about the Palmer House. We'll share some evidence that we're able to collect, and we'll have more discussions with the Paranormal 60 News crew. Until then, take care of yourself, be kind, and love you, because it's okay. It really is. Have a great night.